As she grew up, Diamond Bradley's infatuation with social media became a dangerous obsession. Born in Clarksville, Tennessee on March 21, 2001, she was the youngest of two siblings, her brother Dequan being 3 years older. After their parents split, they moved to the small town of Spring Valley, Illinois, where close relationships and mutual support were key in this community of only 5,000 people. Diamond's mother, Doris, worked as a cook at a nursing home, while her older brother took on the role of guardian and mentor. Her cousin, Giovanna, who resembled her so much they could be twins, was also a constant presence in her life. But their idyllic setting had one major drawback: a lack of activities for teenagers. As Diamond entered her teenage years, she turned to social media and smartphones to fulfill her need for connection and entertainment. By age 13 in 2014, she was actively posting on her page and seeking out online companionship. Despite her seemingly normal interests like singing and playing with her siblings, there were underlying emotional shifts that Diamond experienced during this tumultuous time of transitioning into adulthood. And these changes would eventually lead her down a dark and dangerous path. Diamond's family was deeply involved in her social media presence, but she craved validation from strangers. Welcome to No Tears for Black Girls, a true crime podcast written and produced by award-winning author John Reed Berg. Make sure to hit that subscribe button on our YouTube channel and follow us on all social media platforms. You can also download our episodes on the Alive Podcast app or stream them from your preferred platform. Get ready to hold your breath as we dive into the depths of darkness. Let's begin. In the small town of Spring Valley, with limited activities available, Diamond's interest in boys began to consume her life. Social media became a public diary for her, where she shared her thoughts multiple times a day. By following her posts, one could track the changes and developments in Diamond's teenage life. Although she valued her family, there were moments when Diamond felt profoundly alone and sought companionship through online connections. She poured her heart out to anyone who would listen, admitting to her lack of friendships and longing for attention and affection. However, it should be noted that social media only showed a fraction of Diamond's true life. As a high school student, she struggled to balance her studies and new relationship with Nicholas Nelson. Despite her disinterest in school, Diamond had ambitious plans to become a nurse and possessed a strong sense of empathy. On January 23, 2018, while the Bradley household celebrated Doris's birthday with friends and family, their lives were about to be shattered. As the night came to an end and guests left, Doris noticed that Diamond never returned home after saying goodnight and taking a shower. Her concerns grew as time passed without any word from her daughter. With no means of transportation and harsh weather conditions outside, it seemed unlikely that Diamond would have gone for a walk. By 8:30 a.m., Dequan, who lived separately due to his busy schedule, arrived at the house but couldn't find any sign of Diamond. Doris's worry escalated into panic as hours went by without any contact from her daughter. She reached out to all of Diamond's acquaintances, but none had heard from her. After exhausting all options, Doris reported Diamond missing at 6 p.m. Using cell tower signals, authorities pinpointed the last known location of Diamond's phone at 7:18 a.m. in Tonica, Illinois. However, this only provided a vague search area and no specific location. It appeared that the phone had either died or been intentionally turned off, as there was no further activity or social media engagement from Diamond. Desperate for any information, Doris turned to Diamond's cousin Giovanna, who had been communicating with her the previous evening. To Doris's surprise, Giovanna revealed that Diamond owned a second phone with internet access, but it was password protected and did not have a cellular plan. This new information gave Doris hope, and she immediately handed the device over to the police, hoping it would provide clues to her daughter's disappearance. After cracking the lock screen on a hidden phone, investigators encountered various security measures, including individual passwords for each app. These indicators suggested that 16-year-old Diamond was engaging in illicit activities. Further investigation revealed that she had been using the device to interact on dating platforms and had even taken precautions by advising her cousin of the risks involved. Despite strict rules about dating from her mother, Doris, Diamond had created an older online persona, hindering law enforcement's search efforts. As they combed through surveillance footage and spoke with locals, Diamond's brother put up missing posters in nearby towns. The guilt-ridden family eventually came forward with new information about Diamond's involvement in a dangerous business of meeting men for money. Despite their best efforts, it seemed as though Diamond had fallen into a dangerous trap, unbeknownst to her naive younger self. The severity of the situation became clear as the family grappled with their own personal feelings of failure and helplessness in finding their missing daughter, sister, niece. Deep down, she was a young girl exploring the world with innocence and curiosity, unaware of the lurking dangers that awaited her on those train platforms, predators waiting to prey on vulnerable youth. The temptation of quick and easy money for social outings was an enticing but perilous prospect. Law enforcement knew that many of Spring Valley's youth were trapped in monotony, their only escape being through their digital devices. This disconnect often left parents blind to the potential hazards their children faced online. In response to growing concerns, local police enlisted the help of the FBI to access and analyze data from Diamond's primary phone, hoping to retrace her steps on the day she vanished. With the assistance of the FBI, they were able to map out Diamond's path and determine that she was most likely abducted in a vehicle due to the fast pace of movement detected. Surveillance footage from the area captured 13 vehicles passing through, but poor image quality made it difficult to identify license plate numbers. In a clever move, authorities placed a patrol car equipped with a dash cam at a strategic intersection in hopes of narrowing down the suspects. After 2 days, this tactic proved successful as it ruled out all but two vehicles, a red pickup truck and a black Jeep, that mysteriously disappeared from the surveillance footage after being spotted. Lacking solid evidence to prioritize these vehicles over others, detectives turned their focus towards thoroughly investigating each one, starting with the red pickup truck and black Jeep. Meanwhile, investigators combed through Diamond's digital interactions, scrutinizing messages on dating apps and social media platforms. Their efforts paid off when they discovered that Diamond had sent a message to a 26-year-old man, known as Gerald or Jay, just minutes before she went missing on January 24th at 6 a.m. During the course of their investigation, this individual became their main suspect. Jay admitted to having a romantic connection with Diamond, but claimed he cut off contact once he found out her true age on the morning of January 24th. According to Jay, Diamond had invited him to meet at an IHOP restaurant, but quickly retracted the invitation and apologized, stating that the message was meant for someone else. At 6:40 a.m., Jay responded with a benign smiley face, but soon received a distressing message from Diamond stating, "I'm dying." It was later revealed that Jay was the last known contact of Doris's 16-year-old daughter, Diamond. Overwhelmed with grief and anger, Doris accused Jay of harming her child. In her despair, she was willing to implicate anyone in the search for answers. Jay provided an alibi, claiming he had been at home all night playing video games with a female friend. After intense pressure, he eventually admitted this friend was none other than Giovanna, Diamond's cousin. This added a layer of complexity and confusion to the investigation, but did not lead to any concrete progress. Turning their focus back to the black Jeep captured on surveillance footage driving towards Putnam County, where Diamond's phone signal vanished, investigators believed it could hold key information about her disappearance. Sadly, 3 days after reporting her missing, the sheriff's office received a devastating call that would change the course of their search. A pedestrian walking down Pebble Path in Granville Township discovered the body of a young woman in a ditch by the road. The victim was identified as Diamond, bringing an end to the search, but opening up a new chapter in the investigation into her tragic fate. As officials arrived at the scene, it became clear that this was no accident. The young woman's life had been deliberately taken by another. Her body was covered in wounds across her back, stomach, legs, arms, and hands. She was an African-American victim of a brutal attack. She was no older than 16. Her youthful features were marred by the harsh reality of her untimely demise. The police chief recalled a report of a missing girl matching Diamond's description in Spring Valley. He immediately reached out to the area and learned it was a remote location, blanketed in snow at this time of year. Surrounded by farmland on either side of the path, the nearest residence was several miles away from where Diamond Bradley's body was found. Partially submerged in water from a nearby brook, her defensive injuries told the story of a fierce struggle until her last breath. With heavy hearts, the lead detective made the somber journey to the Bradley family home, tasked with delivering the tragic news. Around 7 p.m., police arrived at their doorstep to share the devastating truth. Doris's heart sank when she heard of her daughter Diamond's death. Deep down, she had always feared it. Her son Dequan returned home to a scene of mourning, his hopes shattered by the harsh reality of his sister's demise. The weight of unfulfilled promises weighed heavily on his shoulders, causing him to faint under its burden. The entire community was shaken by the news, and parents were filled with fear for their children's safety as they wandered the streets. What if the killer was still out there, lurking in the shadows? The investigation team focused on the black Jeep captured on security footage near the crime scene. They consulted with a specialized automotive shop, and an expert technician identified it as a specific model year of a Jeep Wrangler. With this crucial detail, they combed through databases to find all registered owners of Jeep vehicles matching that profile in the area. Despite speaking with multiple Jeep owners, the officers were led to a house a few kilometers from where Diamond's body was found. A woman at the door revealed that the owner of the black Jeep had moved to a nearby town called Standard, making the search for the suspect seem less daunting. While driving through the county, the police spotted a black Jeep Wrangler parked in a driveway and identified it as belonging to 26-year-old Richard Henderson. He had been seen near the Bradley residence on January 24th and was observed waiting at a gas station across from their home before leaving without making a call. The detectives closely monitored Henderson's behavior, noting pauses in his story and facial cues. When asked about his friend's name, he claimed not to know Diamond's last name, raising suspicion and prompting further investigation. In an effort to elicit a confession, the detective suggested retracing Henderson and Diamond's movements on the day of her disappearance by taking a patrol car ride together. They traveled from the gas station, past the traffic junction captured on video, over a bridge, and into Putnam County's pastoral expanses. Their journey ended at the location where Diamond's phone signal had last been detected. All that remained were stuffed animals and artificial flowers at her memorial next to a creek bed, a grim reminder of what had transpired there. Diamond's loved ones had created this memorial as a way to honor her memory in perpetuity, vibrant flowers standing out against the snowy white terrain. These items, much like Diamond herself, seemed out of place in this desolate area where she had met her tragic end. During questioning by the detective, Richard broke down in tears, finally overcome with emotion. The detective seized this vulnerable moment and urged Richard to tell them what had happened. Overwhelmed with grief, he could no longer look at Diamond's memorial as he recounted his story through sobs. It was brief. They had gone to this remote location for an intimate encounter, but when Richard asked Diamond to leave the car, she refused and instead pulled out a knife. A struggle ensued, and Richard claimed he acted in self-defense, trying to deflect her knife-wielding hand, which accidentally resulted in her being stabbed in the abdomen. However, the autopsy revealed over 20 stab wounds on Diamond's body, including some on her back. At nearly 6 feet tall and double Diamond's weight, who was just shy of 5 feet, Henderson's story seemed implausible. He was a fully grown adult, facing a child who posed no physical threat to him. Sadly, before their search even began, Diamond had already passed away. More than 200 people attended her memorial service, including family, friends, classmates, and teachers from Spring Valley High School. Her mother, Doris, chose cremation, as she couldn't bear the thought of leaving her daughter in a graveyard. She wanted to keep Diamond close to her always. In fact, Doris even brought Diamond's urn with her to the courtroom during Henderson's sentencing. Richard ultimately accepted a plea deal, confessing his guilt in order to avoid a life sentence. He was sentenced to 53 years in prison without parole. Doris later revealed that she had contemplated taking her own life after losing her daughter, but couldn't bring herself to do it because of the impact it would have on her surviving children. The absence of Diamond left a profound void in her life that could never be filled. Thank you for tuning in to No Tears for Black Girls, now a part of the Alive Podcast Network, the first Black female-owned and operated network dedicated to amplifying Black voices. If you enjoyed this episode, please show your support by following us on the Alive Podcast app, available on both iPhone and Android. You can also stay connected with us on social media and YouTube at No Tears for Black Girls, or on X at No Tears for BG. Remember to stay loved, stay blessed, and stay safe. Until next time.